Hello and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the early adopter, thekevinmiller.com.
Thank you. Do you have that written down when you read that?
Nope.
Oh, that's great.
It's all off the top of my head.
Someone posted earlier today, sent us on Facebook, saying that I should do an introduction for you. Did you see that email?
No, I did not.
Yeah, so I should do one for you.
I had a lot of stuff going on with my car. Yeah, I have a child.
Yeah, we don't talk about those things anymore.
What?
We only talk about video games. That's the only thing this podcast is about now.
I think we legally have to say that is Threshold 8-Bit from the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack.
Ah, nice.
Now we can play it for free as many times as we want. Okay, not
it's
much
pretty
time.
Pretty cool.
Quit doing bits.
Justin Worsham, you've seen him on Showtime.
True.
And I'm trying to work out your intro. What do you want? What do you want for it?
Well, on the road, it's Showtime at Blue Collar Radio.
Okay.
So usually what happens is if I'm playing a city in the South, then they will say something like, this next comedian, he comes to you all the way from Los Angeles, California. That's the place where all you good blue collar people think uppity yuppity yup yups come from. They don't say those words, but that's what's good. Implied when they have to say. Like it's not known that people think that if they're from L.A., they're better than everyone.
No, that's
sorry.
New York. so how about this? He's the funniest thing to come out of Modesto since George Lucas.
Yes.
You've seen him on Blue Collar Radio and Showtime.
I'm another great comedian.
Yes, you took my joke.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Here he is, another great comedian, Justin Worsham.
Oh, hit stop on the song. Yeah, 8-bit is not very climactic.
Really? Because I was just going to say, we found that song about 80 seconds ago, and I'm in love with it.
All right. I'll put it on your droid of an. All right. We got a lot we got to get to on this show. I'm going to start it with our voicemail. What do you think of that?
I love it.
All right.
Play it. Power up.
Seems inappropriate.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, she's doing the SpongeBob video. That's it.
Anyway. Hi, guys. I love your new podcast. By the way, my name is Mia and not Leprechaun. Although when I told everyone in my networking class the name you gave me, they loved the irony considering the fact that I'm super short. And
what
when
name?
I said I didn't remember the names, I meant that I didn't remember that Matt Olson and Chris Murphy's names at the time. At this point in time, I blame Justin. If you admit to your crimes now, your sentence will be commuted. And not to correct your wife's Spanish, but when she said me llamo gato, that pretty much threw me off. Are you saying that your name is literally gato, or are you saying that your name is a cat? But when I was like, oh, I see what you did there. But yeah, it would still be me llamo cat. Two languages now. But yes, your Spubbly Louse's accent was within acceptable parameters and made me squee like the silly fangirl I am. Also, you guys didn't do the okay, bye thing at the end. I was looking forward to you guys to do that as a group, and I was disappointed. Or as Bentley says when he is dinged multiple times during gameplay, anguish! I'd also like to point out that neither Bentley or Sly wear pants.
That is true.
Just an observation. And yes, the skits were absolutely fantabulous. And as an animation student, I now have some killer audio to work with. Once I'm better at this whole animation thing, I'll be sending some clips your way. And for lack of a better ending, okay, bye.
I think that was the best ending you could come up with.
Right? That was awesome. Man.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for calling us Leprechaun. And I don't know why we called you Leprechaun. Don't remember. I feel like now that when a week goes by in between these shows, that it's like we're drunk. We're like these jaded old.
Well, it's also 2 hours. That show was 2 hours. Yeah. We've never done a show that long.
Yeah.
It was 2 hours.
I'll be honest with the listeners. Mostly what I remember is being awkwardly racist unintentionally through a character.
It was very homophobic. I went back and listened. And the whole, I remember just the skit we did at the end being homophobic, but the whole thing was just locker room. There was like gay jokes from the first minute of that thing.
So we need to make it clear that the Second Funniest Podcast is pro-gay.
Let's go on. What else you got?
I just want to make sure we didn't miss any questions from her, right? Am I right on that?
Well, the gatos, I guess you're right. I don't speak Spanish. We can ask
No, she's definitely right. That I know. I know that's true. I also want to make it clear that I'm a big fan of Mia, personally, and that my little interjections with our sound bites that we have here was not to punch up her voicemail. Just the first opportunity I've had to use them in context.
That's true.
Where I didn't have to talk and push buttons. So thank you for that, Mia.
You get to react, yeah. And Mia's been all over our Facebook, so yes. Thanks so much for talking. What else?
She had a question, though, about if we were ever going to do a live call-in show, or if the phone number would ever call into us live. And because of her question, what we tried it. For those of you who've been listening forever, you know the answer. We tried to do live shows. Nobody would watch, but now we have a ton of listeners after this Sly 4 thing has come up, and a lot more fanboys and fangirls who are the kind of people who are a little more obsessed with responding, which is great.
That's the word.
So what we will do is maybe we'll do like maybe once a quarter, which is 3 months for those of you mathematically calendar challenged.
Oh.
Yeah, that's you. And we'll do one once a quarter where we'll do a live Ustream show, and then you could call in live. But we just have to make it clear that you have to listen live so that you know what we're talking about and know when to call in. Because if we're talking to somebody and then the phone rings, I can't really control it because we're not an actual radio station.
Yeah, we'll deal with all that later.
Okay.
That'll be good. But in the meantime, come up to our Facebook. Tell your friends. Join us.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about games.
Yeah.
It's not just Sly. Although we love Sly.
Yeah.
We got lots to talk about.
Speaking of Sly, I want to play this clip real quick. Because I thought this was awesome to hear. Let me see if I can figure out who sent this to me before I push the button here. Philip. There it is. Philip. Philip found a clip on YouTube, or maybe he created it, of the German Sly Cooper. So it is another voice actor playing our fair friend Kevin Miller. And
Carmelita is so wütend wie immer. Sie ist wirklich verdammt süß, wenn sie wütend ist.
That's actually me.
Und Constable Nila.
Yeah.
War Ihre Bemerkung über die Klorgang ein Versprecher?
Oder I don't know why, but Germans always sound perverted to me.
Always.
I mean, he said something about Putin, and I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like he shouldn't be putting anything in her Putin, if you know what I'm saying.
Don't have a clue.
So I thought that was hilarious, and I think that covers everything that we have so far. I know we have other stuff.
Oh, lots of stuff. So many things.
I know, so many things.
Should we take a moment to take a break from our sponsors?
Oh, we can do that. That's right. So here's the thing. Some of you may or may not have already noticed on secondfunniestpodcast.com, there is now an audible.com banner on the top.
Yeah.
We are now sponsored by audible.com. So here's the idea. We figured that everybody here likes listening to stuff. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Yeah. So, sometimes I put my fingers in my ears.
And I am personally a fan. A lot of people give it flack. I think it's fun. I like listening to audiobooks. Like right now, I just finished Adam Carolla's book because I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla.
Does he read it?
He can't read it. He reads his. Oh no, that's a go. I'm sorry. I was thought you were doing a bit.
Oh.
He reads his book, and he also does like another hour of ranting after, like, because he'll read from his own book, and that'll inspire him to do more stuff.
Wow.
And he actually argues with the people recording, like, because they'll say, "Well, why not this?" And he'll be like, "I'll tell you why not." And, you know, it's a really good listen.
That's pretty great.
Right now, I just started. Haven't really got anything into it, but that's gonna bother me. Zombie Spacecraft Wasteland by Patton Oswalt, and then I also just downloaded Freakonomics because I'm excited.
Ooh, Freakonomics is great. I've listened to that.
Yeah.
Have you listened to the Myron Bolitar mysteries?
Oh, I can't believe that we didn't bring this up before we started talking about the sponsors, that you love audiobooks.
Oh, love them. Yeah.
No,
I'm a huge fan. The Myron Bolitar mysteries are fantastic. I recommend. They're a good read. After you're done with stuff like Harry Potter, which is how I experienced most of the book. Now, all of them I've heard Jim Dale read to me, and he's phenomenal. Even if you've read the books and enjoyed the movies, that's a great listen. And then the Myron Bolitar mysteries are fantastic. He's a sports agent and a like a private eye.
Oh my gosh!
So he solves cases for his agent, or for his talent rather. So in the first book, he represents the lead quarterback for the mythical New York Titans. This was years before the Tennessee Titans were around. And the kid comes out of the college ranks and is joining the Pro Bowl, but he's mixed up in a missing persons case. His ex-girlfriend it was murdered, and so a lot of the stuff is coming back up around, and so he has to defend his client's case and his client's personality, but he has to solve the mystery of who really murdered this girl. So it's pretty good, and that's just the first book.
I know. How many of them have you listened to?
A couple now. There's
about
seven. Yeah.
All right.
They're great.
So there you go. So here's what you do. You go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and you click on the banner at the top. And what that does is that gives you a free 30-day trial of their gold membership, which essentially is going to give you a free book. Because the gold membership is, I think, somewhere around $15 a month, mm-hmm. and you get a free book. And most audiobooks cost about $20. So if you can kill a book in a month, then it's perfect.
Yeah.
And if you can kill more than a book a month, there's other options where you can upgrade. But also, you get 50% off regular books
and
if
we
you
get
are a
stuff.
Gold membership.
You know, and that's what we like.
And we get stuff.
Paid.
Yeah, we get a little... We get a little taste.
Everybody's happy.
A little rub of the nose if you're mafia and don't understand the reference, because I don't think that's true. I don't know.
So what else you got?
Audible.com, or what you want to do is go to secondfunniestpodcast.com and click on the banner. I think that's all that I have, unless you want to talk. Here's what we're trying to get through all the emails. We could talk about the gentleman, Quincy, who would like some help with arguing with his parents.
He had the first question a long time ago that was important.
So he sent this all the way back on February 3rd. Quincy said, I was wondering if you could think of an argument that I could use with my parents to let me play Call of Duty. Please use this topic because it would help me. So I asked him, I said, well, can you give me some reasons that they give?
Did you ask him how old he is?
No, I did not.
That'd have been good.
I asked him, can you give us some reasons why they don't want you to play? And he said, they just say, because I said so, and I don't want you exposed to that stuff.
Got it. Remind me, this is Call of Duty? Is that what he said? And they're on all platforms, right?
Call of Duty is, yes.
Yeah, except for Wii, I assume.
No, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
You get to point, actually.
Do you really?
Yeah, they give you a little thing where you put the Wii controller.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. So here's my opinion. As a parent, even though my son is only 2.5 years old and is horrible at Call of Duty, I swear to God, I can frag the hell out of that kid. Oh, my gosh. He's always the one in the corner pointing his gun up and down against a rock. It's like, come on, dude. Find some cover. You know? Aim.
I'm adding that to our T-shirt list.
Moves it slow. But anyway, I think, Quincy, that what you really have to do is you have to get to a point where your parents understand why you want to play the game and what the game is about. Now, I cannot sit here as a parent and in good conscience say that your parents are wrong. But what I can say that more often than not, and here's the thing, I'm assuming that you're a teenage. If you are 8 years old, 9 years old, it might not be the most appropriate game for you. But if you're, 14, 15, somewhere around there, I don't personally have an issue with it. But the reason, here's what I think. I think when you're in that age group, and I hope I'm not getting too much on a soapbox, but I think that what often happens is rules get misconstrued as your parents being mean mm-hmm. instead of they care.
Yeah.
There are a lot of kids out there that are doing God knows what, staying out till God knows when, and it's just because their parents don't care and they're not invested in their lives. Mm-hmm. Now, what I will say is that as a parent, I'm hoping that this isn't the circumstance with your parents, Quincy, is that a lot of times parents don't understand what goes on in video games. They don't understand the technology of playing video games online. Like my brother and sister-in-law, I set up an account for Xbox Live for my nephew, and I pay for that. That's like his birthday and Christmas present get for him. And they have no idea how to protect him from, who his friends are and everything like that. And those of us that have played games online know that you can, all you have to do is wait 15 minutes and you're playing with some dude in Massachusetts who's ripping a bong load instead of helping you, capture the flag.
That's true.
So I think that that's kind of where your parents are coming from. So my suggestion personally would be to say, hey, can we rent the game? Or can we buy it used for 7 days? You play it with me. Watch me play it. And also bring them into, ask them if it's a situation. Are you afraid of who I might interact with online? Mm-hmm. Or if they're okay with you playing games online and stuff like that. Be open about the process and educate them about the process. And then if you show that you're responsible and honest and communicating with them, I think it can create a more comfortable situation for them where they know that, say, you do get online with a pothead, and he's kind of being inappropriate or whatever, you could just click it off and turn that game off. Yeah. And then they know that, because that's what parents, that's all we do. We spend 90% of our time going, please don't hurt my kid world.
Yeah.
And that's all they want. It's because they love you and they care for you. It's not because they're jerks or they're hateful people. It's because they love you. And that's where it's coming from. So again, not to be too repetitive, but bring them into the process. Let them watch.
Establish a relationship with it. Here's some other things you can throw out in the conversation. Is one, video games in general highly increase your dexterity and your hand-eye coordination. So if you're pre-driving age, this is just a fun fact. Like, imagine how good I can be at sniping some guy while running through a forest. And can take a beat on some German dude.
Yeah,
I'm going to be great at dodging a truck coming at me when the trunk is drunk and I'm completely sober, Dad.
And be prepared, Quincy. Sorry if I'm interrupting you.
But it's okay.
Yeah, it's what I do. be prepared for them to come at you with the idea that playing stick and ball sports is also an option, you know what I mean, that would improve that same dexterity and reaction
time.
But it's
a healthy diet.
Yes.
That's the thing. You should. We all should go outside and play with a stick and ball or, you know, something that has been played with this century. And but we're in a generation where it's important to be in front of a computer. If you're not computer savvy, you're going to be left in the dust.
Yes.
You have to know how to text if you're going to survive in the business world when you're of business age. That's just a fact of reality. But I do think that the most important thing you can take away from it is that if your parents lay down the law about this and say, no, you're not playing this game, you want to lose gracefully.
Yes.
And say, okay, not a problem, because that buys you chips for later. Because Call of Duty, pretty sweet. I guarantee there's another game coming out next year that's just as cool,
yes,
if not cooler. And if you establish this relationship with your folks where you always say no and try to fight them on every decision that they make, they're never going to let you in to get anything that you want. It could be game, it could be going out late, it could be whatever. So recognize your battles and when you need to stop fighting, and then you'll see that they'll start giving you more stuff.
I can't back you up more on that point.
I know.
Because I think that if you come at it like what I was saying is like talking to them as an adult, if they know that you can handle it maturely,
yeah,
even when you're telling them no, it does. It loosens them up. It makes them feel more relaxed because you look like an adult and feel like an adult. So yeah, that means that they don't have to be so worried about protecting
you. Because parents are playing the long game and
yes,
kids are playing the short game.
Yes.
Parents are in it for the 10, 15 years down the road. And you just want, as a kid, I know, I don't have any children. So I'm talking about from my own point of view, you want it right now. And if you just wait and learn to be patient like your parents are, they'll eventually buckle just like they're expecting you to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's also that stigmatism that they're going to carry with this, that their fear is going to be that you're going to become this recluse, this, yeah, social recluse who just sits in your room all the time.
That's to be expected. I mean, there's a generational gap. They didn't have games. They don't understand it. But you can remind them that video games are our generation's rock and roll or our generation's television. I don't know how old your parents are.
Yeah.
But, you know, every generation has had some new medium come into the world that has changed the way their parents view it. Like, I don't understand how a cell phone or how the internet, how they don't know how big a difference your life is going to school with the internet.
Yeah.
The fact that you can research at home on one screen without going through volumes and volumes of books to find things to back up your points on some paper you're writing, your parents have no reference point for that. None whatsoever.
I'm going to throw this out because it just hit me.
Yeah.
And you tell me if I'm opening a huge can of worms.
Yeah.
I had the idea of what if they're open to it,
yeah,
what if we have Quincy on the show via Skype, yeah, and then we also have Quincy's parents, mom or dad,
I'd love it,
on the show, and then they can kind of... Because here's what I don't want to have happen. I don't want to have Quincy say, hey, I listened to this podcast, and then they go and check it out, and then they just see this explicit, 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 explicit. Because I'm under the assumption that you can't get that this show if it's listed as explicit, yeah, if you're underage on that account.
That's
you know what I mean?
So, yeah, Quincy, that'd be great.
So if it's going to do that to where they're going to be like, wait, who the hell are these jackholes that are in, you know, Los Angeles that you're listening to, then you're going to lose this show.
Unless they're from New York, and then in which case they're better than us.
Then they're going to educate us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if they're from Oklahoma, nobody knows where that is.
That's not even
Kentucky.
I think it's inside Kentucky.
Got it. So, you know what I mean? Then we could go from there, and maybe we can, you know, for the sake of just interest, have a debate of what's the perspective of a parent and a kid.
And just so you know, Quincy, we're on your side.
Yeah,
on this one. No, we really are. And the truth is, it's a fun game, and you should be able to play it if you can pay for it on your own and you're not leeching off your folks or you have any of those sort of things, you should have the ability to. And really, we all in this country have the opportunities to explore the things that we find interesting. And your folks, if they really thought that you were into it, you know, I think they do well to let you explore an interest level that you have.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly.
All right. Good question. Hey, I think we're earning big points with the PTA.
We banged it out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to love that. They're going to
we just backed up every parent ever. How did we not?
Well, we backed them up in the sense that saying, hey, you know, because am I going to have a problem with my kid playing a violent video game? No,
yeah,
because I grew up playing violent video games. I have a personal belief, it is my personal politics, that violent video games do not lead to violent children.
Well, you're a violent adult.
Yeah.
You are.
What?
You're punching the cat right now.
That is different. Animal abuse is not human to human. It's not really abuse.
By the cat, I mean El Gato, my wife.
She's not a person to me.
Oh.
She's a wife.
I'm out of here.
And therefore a subhuman.
Sound of headphones. Trailing on
the table. How dare you paint me into a bit corner of acting like I'm the misogynist that I am.
You are a misogynist.
I know. But my point is that, you know, I think that violent video games don't lead to violent kids. I think that violent kids are going to be violent kids. And that maybe, because here's the other issue. We don't know you, Quincy. Maybe you can't handle it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just want you to understand, like what Kevin is saying, handle it like adult and understand that there's a good reason why, yeah, from their perspective, that they're doing what they're
and
doing.
And literally, the longest you're going to have to wait, 8, maybe 10, yeah, 15 years, you're probably not 3, move out, buy whatever stupid game you want.
And then ultimately, too, if you do hit a dead end with this, I think really where you're coming from is that the fact that your other friends are allowed to play this game, yeah, and so it's a social thing that you're not being able to participate in. There's plenty of other social stuff that you can do or create.
Smoke pot. You can get some girls pregnant.
Wow.
You can drink and drive. All of these are terrible options.
So there you go. On that note.
Okay, bye. Brought to you by the PTA of America. don't do those things. That was sarcasm.
That was,
we all know.
A bit of palooza. All right, so what do we have next on the docket? I think we nailed that.
Yeah.
Do
you have any other emails?
No.
Somebody wanted to know about, we listened to a voicemail where somebody said whether or not we did the voices for Nickelodeon. Did we listen to
that? Oh, no, we didn't listen to that voicemail.
Let's put that one on, yeah.
And so here's the thing. I'm going to say this up front because we get a lot of people who comment on how nervous they are. Listen, Kevin and I are celebrities. You are bound to be nervous when you talk to us, and it's okay to feel that way because you are correct in feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. You listen to us use these dulcet tones. We speak clearly, comfortably, in front of tens of thousands of people at a given moment. We know what we're doing, and you don't. So, of course, when you call into the show, you're going to feel like you're a total brain-dead jackass. And that's where you're wrong. No, don't worry about being nervous. It's all right. No worries. That's what my point is, but I got it all bitted up.
Yes, hello. I like your, what's it called, Second Funniest Podcast, I'm sorry. Yeah, my name is Victor Rivers, and you guys are awesome. You make me laugh every time. Even when I'm having a bad day at school or at work, you guys really lighten up my day, and I really appreciate that. What else? Yes, sorry. My words are kind of, I'm kind of nervous, so.
What did we just say? What did we just say?
Damn it, Victor.
I would like to shout out to Mr. Miller. He's been doing a really good job voicing Sly Cooper.
Good for you!
I haven't heard his voice in Tales of Eternia, though. But they said the voice acting was bad. But as you said, it was bad direction, so I don't really blame you for that.
Well, thank you.
My question is, which game is your favorite? Sly 1, 2, Sly 1, 2, or 3? Or, and also, your voice... What have you voiced in Nickelodeon? That's what I would like to know. You said on the Facebook page, you said you voiced someone in Nickelodeon on a Nickelodeon channel. I'm not sure who you voiced, but I would like to know. So if you guys are awesome. And Mr. Miller, your voices should be in anime. You should voice an anime, and you have a million voices in you. So I guess this is goodbye. Sorry if my sentence don't make sense. So, all right, bye.
I like our listeners have a knack for closing voicemails strong.
Yeah.
Sorry if my sense doesn't make sense. I like that, Victor.
It's good. It's good. I'm a big fan of Sly 2. I'm actually playing through all of them on the Sly collection right now just to get into the mood for if there was going to be a Sly 4, just to get into that kind of mode. But I think Sly 2 is the one that I think they really broke the mold and tried something new. And I think it's the one that'll be the most remembered out of all of them. Sly 1 is fun, but they had a great idea that came across like any other game at the time. It was just an obstacle course.
What do you think to the idea of like a television show, mm-hmm, when they first are making a television show, network executives are involved in the process. And then once you prove yourself over the first season, then you kind of get a Okay, go for it. Well, now we know you know what
yeah,
you're doing.
Yeah, no, it's actually the other way around. They admitted to it. Sucker Punch did. I read an article, I think, in Gamer Pro, GameStop, GameZilla, GameSutra.
Only one of those names is a magazine. So.
And so that one, they interviewed him and said Grand Theft Auto changed everything for them because they were developing just a game like every other game, which is an obstacle course and get to point A to point B. And they said, you know, the popularity of a free form world and being able to choose your missions and how you do it and all and sort of an editable reality really influenced how they developed the game. That's why you see such a big difference between them. What's the game with the explanation mark above their heads?
That's Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, I think that's what a little bit of their inspiration was for doing a platformer freeformer game like Sly, having more of a, you know, trying to do stealth as opposed to just get from here to there as fast as you can,
like run through, almost kind of like Mario, where it was like a side scroll. You just keep going.
And in fact, they had time trials in the first game. Once you beat the game, you can go back and try to beat it as fast as you can. They don't have those in the other ones.
I love
and
stealth. I'm a big fan of stealth.
You should play the Sly Cooper games.
I know.
Then his other question was Nickelodeon. Both Justin and I, and these are in previous podcasts, were live hosts for Nickelodeon events in malls and theme parks. We did shows all over the country. And they were good times. But I've also done live shows for Disney Channel. But we didn't put that on there because who likes Disney Channel? Right? Come on.
Stupid.
Raven and Lily.
Oh, that's so stupid. No, Witches of Waverly Stupid.
Have you seen that show? Good one.
You know, honestly, Good Luck, Charlie is kind of one of my favorite sitcoms.
Really?
I accidentally saw it because Jacob is a fan of Disney Junior, like little one, and so
he was watching Fairly Odd Parents.
Imagination.
Today,
I changed it because there was Mickey Mouse Clubhouse wasn't on.
Just the worst show on the planet.
Yeah, it's not good. All of those. The only one that's good is Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah.
And then what's funny is I heard on another podcast that they were talking about that a lot of sitcom writers during the writer's strike got shuffled around, and the easiest place to find work was in these kids shows.
So that the intelligence level of these kids shows jumped up a couple.
So there's
like
a lot
points.
Of high level sitcom writers that are writing for these sitcoms.
They used to do CIS, and now they're doing
Good Luck Charlie. I mean, here's the thing, I like Good Luck Charlie because there's funny moments without crazy overacting. But there's a lot of Disney sitcoms like I don't like the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, Hannah Montana. I want to punch in the face.
I got a friend that's on that.
Oh,
we
really?
Should have her on here actually. She
Hannah Montana?
No, on Sweet Life.
Well, I was gonna say if you knew Hannah Montana.
I knew Vanessa Hutchinson.
Huh?
So, that Vanessa Hutchinson from American Dance Off.
Excuse
High
me?
School Musical 3.
There you
and
go.
Two and one. You
how
knew.
You...
Why are you baiting me?
How did you? Because I didn't
we only
know.
Have 30 minutes, bro.
I know, but how did you know her?
From the Disney Channel's events. I worked with her. I worked with Phil of the Future, Raviv Ullman.
It's so funny. I know we only have this little time, but I got to tell a quick story.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, Candace Bailey, remember her from Slime Time Live?
Totally, yeah.
So, when just talk about the Nickelodeon stuff that we used to do. We would do live Nickelodeon events, and I always got paired with Candace. And so kind of my job was Candace Bailey would be the on-air talent, and she would come out and shoot pie or slime a kid. But she didn't really know our show, and so she would just be flown in. It's not worth her time or her energy, and not to make her sound like a jerk, but it wasn't worth her time or energy to learn our show. So she would just come in. I would kind of hold, you know, set her up. She would take over, pie the kid, slime the kid, say, hi, I'm Candace Bailey, and go on her way, you know? And so... So she's now a co-host of Attack of the Show on G4 and is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She replaced Olivia Munn.
Let's get her on here.
Well, I don't know if I could do that, but here's the kicker.
Bah.
My old manager had an assistant at one point, and I'm in there, and they go, oh, Justin used to do Nickelodeon shows, yada, yada, yada. I was like, oh, you used to do Nickelodeon shows? I was like, yeah, nothing on air. I go, the only thing I did on air, because this stuff did air, like little interstitial stuff, is that my job was to, you know, help Candace Bailey not look like a jackass while she slimed a kid or pied a kid. And it was me kind of patting my own back. And this girl goes, oh, that's so funny. Candace is like one of my best friends.
That doesn't sound bad.
It sounded a little bad, I think, because I was
Maybe you've colored it differently in that, but
no,
that sounded fine.
No, those are the words that I use. Like, I was like, but I mean, I might have had more of a tone of, you know, oh, it's kind of my job to keep Candace from looking like a jackass, you know, that's... Because she's on air, and then I always followed up with this thing, same thing, is that I've seen her on air. She's phenomenal on air, but I don't know if she's got it live. Like, live is a different beast, and I probably would suck on air, but I can do stuff
You're
live.
On air right now, so do you suck?
I think so.
So people also wanted to know about your career, Justin. I think we've spent a lot of time talking about Sly Cooper and what
Let's
I do.
Let's end on this. No. Let's end on this.
Did I have? Oh, we also have to go over the poll. So either one of those. Yeah.
Wow. We half hour is going to be tough.
Not a lot of time.
We decided to cut the show to a half hour because we thought it would be more fun and quick.
So sorry,
we're working on it.
Yeah. What are we at now?
30 minutes.
Okay.
Wait. We got 17 seconds. All right. My career started.
The poll is same time.
Good call.
Yeah. Okay.
My career.
So then we had four questions on the poll.
When I was 17 years old, I auditioned for Great America. I'm going too far back, but I'm. Don't worry. Kevin might be worried. Oh, boy.
6 seconds.
Yep.
Five. Four.
So I was a Ferengi for a few years in the Star Trek program.
What's a Ferengi?
That's the orange butt-headed, large-eared Star Trek character.
You're a traitor to our race.
That is where Kevin Miller and I met. You should be able to go back into the archive and listen to the first episode of Second Funniest Podcast.
It's not on the bottom of the page. You reposted it.
It's in the middle. It says a rerun of episode one.
A bunch of the old
episodes
are missing.
It would have aired back around August, around your wedding, because we took time off for your wedding. August of last year. It should be still available on secondfunniestpodcast.com. But that was back when it was called the JK Show for Justin and Kevin. And we talk about how he and I met. My career in podcasting, because he says I'm his favorite podcaster and I'm a badass, which I was like, duh. My career in podcasting started when my career in stand-up started kind of taking off. I took a class to learn how to become a stand-up because nothing else was working for me here in LA. Before I went home, I wanted to try it. Class was horrible, but I got to perform for 7 minutes at the Hollywood Improv, so I decided to do what I wanted to do instead of doing what the class told me to do. They taped it. That tape turned into more and more work. A year later, I got on Showtime's Comics Without Borders with Russell Peters, and I've been kind of working as a working stand-up comic. Not a headliner. I headline a couple clubs, but feature level, which is like the middle guy, the opening act, if you would. And I came up with the idea of podcasting because I was a fan of a podcast called Never Not Funny. And I needed a way to create sticky content to remind people of who I was and provide more content out on the internet. And I couldn't blog because I'm not a very good writer, but I'm good at talking. So I came up with a podcast. Kevin and I have, since we met in Great America and then started doing Comedy Sports, which you'll hear more about if you go back and listen to that episode, have always wanted to do a show together. So this was kind of how this show spawned. Where it was a show that him and I did what we want to do, talk about what we want to do, which start off as our lives, and now we're talking about video games all the time.
Because it's what we like.
Yeah, and then I do another podcast for dads, because that's what a lot of my stand-up is about being a husband and a dad, and that's how it all started. So there's the answer to your question, Andy.
That was great.
Yeah.
Were
you looking for the poll?
Yeah.
Kevin set up while you're looking. Kevin set up a poll.
I had it on the page, and now it's gone. The iPad is failing. Failing iPad.
That needs to be one of their words that they put up. Where it's like schooling or, fun. The iPad
Failing.
Failing. Kevin put up a poll for asking for responses for people about the new controllers or kinetic controllers specifically or just
no,
new
all
controllers.
Of them. I call them alternative controllers. I don't know what the industry
which essentially
it.
I think what we're hinting at is, and maybe this is too obvious, but the Wii controllers, the Kinect, the PlayStation Move.
So that was what the question is. We got are they a viable thing to play with, or are they a good thing for you to spend your time on as a gamer? Or are they just a passing fad like 3D is for movie theaters right now? So I asked, out of the four options available, which are the Wii, the Kinect by the Xbox, or the PS Move by PlayStation, or none of the above, which one do you prefer? And it's been sitting on the screen the whole time, and the moment I talked about it, I hit a button, and it all went away. Aww. But a moment ago, the answers were, we had... about a dozen responses, overwhelming. And
Facebook might be having an issue because it doesn't have my... usually I could go to account and then pick my different pages.
Right.
And now I'm having to do a different way to get through things.
So Facebook is down.
Yeah.
It was 4, 6... What is 4 out of 12?
I found the poll. Is there something I can look at for you?
Yeah, click on the poll button where it says poll. This is some tantalizing radio.
That one is what you're talking about?
Yep, that's it, that white
page. Okay, well, you want to go through the comments while
click
that's loading?
That, yeah.
Click that. I clicked on that link.
Got it. And then click on Facebook poll down there.
Facebook poll.
Right there. Great. So nerve-wracking.
Create your first poll now?
Oh, because you aren't me.
Maybe it's because did you do it on the iPod?
No, I didn't do it on the iPad, but this is the dumbest thing on the planet. Anyway, we'll say 40% of our listeners said the PS Move is their console, alternative console of controller of choice. And then 40% said none of the above. Please don't bother me. Or I guess 60%.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I have the PlayStation Move. And it's fun for my 2-year-old.
I know.
And that's about it. I mean, you and I played it. I almost broke your hand.
Oh, that's right.
We played that Gladiator game. But it's still, like, I feel like it's still, it almost seems a lot like the Power Glove to me.
Yeah, but cooler.
It's a great idea, but it's not exactly completely integrated. You know what I mean?
And I think they'll get there. Joel posted on the wall and said that clearly the PS Move, in his opinion, has the best in technology, but thinks that there isn't enough of a library of games to back it up.
I agree
with that. But we're seeing the Sorcery is going to come out later this year. Also, Heroes on the Move. Come on.
Right?
Pretty great. And I would
That's all the library anybody needs.
Right there. Sly and Cooper. I have a feeling that the PS Move out of all of them will probably... I think the Kinect is pretty great, too. If you've used it at all, it's
pretty
sweet.
To me, I feel like the industry reviews are all about the Kinect because... It doesn't have quite the glitches that the PlayStation Move or anything have.
I feel like it has a ton of glitches.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's just what I heard in TV reviews.
If you're not in a properly lit room, the Kinect can be very dangerous. And you also have to have this exact amount of space. It's very cumbersome. I mean, living rooms aren't huge, right? So you play this dance move, and like we were playing with the PS Move where we hit each other with the swords, you're doing that with any sort of... We play soccer. My wife and I have to turn the TV, move the couch just to give us enough room to play soccer together. And then you're like, oh, great. We've been jumping up and down in the room. It gets old pretty quick. I think people love the idea of not having to hold a controller, which is why outside the industry, outside gamers are like, that is amazing. Finally, I don't have to figure out how to use this device.
Which I think his name was Joel. I think Joel said that, about Facebook, said that new gamers are probably like, oh, this is so much fun, like for family gaming.
It's Rock Band without the equipment. Yeah, and I get that. But I think gaming-wise...
Or the button-mashing skill. That's an interesting point, because Rock Band, you have to have some form of button-mashing rhythm.
Like Simon said.
You have to know how to play video games to play Rock Band, I think.
But you dance. Yeah. But I think that the PS Move compared to, say, the Wii, the PS Move will beat them all out because the Wii is cumbersome. Your wrist gets tired pointing there at the screen. It's antiquated technology. Yeah. I think we're going to see the PS Move really take off in the long run. But that's just my 2 cents. But, yes, I am going to prefer to sit down and play a game every day of the week before I'm like, although I have used the Kinect Soccer as an excuse for getting athletic. And I recommend you do the same thing.
Well, here's what I think that these new alternative controllers have given us that other games did not, is the wonderful ability to go through YouTube and see Wii injuries and Kinect injuries and PlayStation Move injuries. If you have not taken the time to do that, oh, sweet Lord in heaven, you need to find you some Kinect injuries.
Because there's that that one where the guy kicks a cat.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
There's another one that and then also a great one to Google is people accidentally throwing the Wii controllers at their television.
Oh, sure.
And you just see these $2,000 televisions and then watching people just crumble. And I know it's messed up because it's a sad day in their life, but it is funny to watch people suffer.
All over that. You know, Joel also said that he's going to build a cane, one of the Sly Cooper canes. And I asked whether or not he was going to have the functionality to have it split apart and be used as ice climbing gear.
Uh-huh.
Because you can do that in the second game. And he claims he can.
What if you said that you could do that in the fourth game? That would have made me because that's what you do in the fourth game.
Wait a minute.
Wait, this isn't live.
You have the ability to tap it on the ground and then change planets. Oh, crap. Sly Cooper in space.
Can we offer up a tease of what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Next week on the second funniest podcast, we're going to be talking about video games in the news.
Ooh.
Let's talk about how consoles are dead in a dead medium in gaming. That's the controversy this day. And then we'll talk about the 3DS and why it's not dead.
So, and here's the thing, because we're going to record this episode right now, and you told me I just don't want
you
people to be like,
the mystery.
Well, I don't want, they know that's what we do, but I'm saying I don't want people to start to write in and then be angry when we don't respond to them on the show. You know what I mean? Like, we care about it. So, but you should still write in on whatever we say in the next half hour.
Yeah, you can give us a poll or something if you want to talk about it. Talk to us. Tell your friends to like us on Facebook and be awesome.
Yes, all of that is great. If you want to see me do some stand-up, I'm going to be, let's see, what do I got coming up? I got San Antonio, Texas, March 9th through 13th. I've got Omaha, Nebraska, March 23rd through 27th. Oh, which is fun, March 23rd through 27th, because we have some new fanboys that have found the show. I will be opening for Biff from Back to the Future.
Oh, I'll see that. Where's that at?
Unbelievable. Omaha, Nebraska, at the Funny Bone.
You said that already. I wasn't listening.
I'm very excited about that. It's going to be
exciting.
Awesome. Because he has a great song. You could do a search on YouTube. He's got a song about the Back to the Future where people are always asking him questions, and he put a song that's the answer to all the questions on there.
Oh, like, we gotta listen to that.
How does a hoverboard work? It's a movie. Like, that's pretty much the answer to a lot of them, but it's pretty funny. So check that out.
Man, trying to do this show in 30 minutes is like running through water.
Yeah, I feel like I sprinted.
I do. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired. I don't think we can do this. I feel like we cheated ourselves.
Hold on. In defense, because a lot of listeners are going, you didn't do it, because we are now at minute 40.
Oh,
so we did not do a 30-minute show.
Don't let Joseph Barkley listen to the show, because he cannot do a 35-minute message in our church services to save his life, a fact that I remind him of at every chance I can get. So now the fact that I'm trying to do a 30-minute podcast, I really hope he doesn't listen to the
show.
This
is your first attempt, in your defense.
Yeah, that's true.
Number two, if he comes to you and tries to tell you about what to do on this, again, tell that jerk to shut
his face
hole. Justin
Warsham, this is the second.
Get out of my business, Joseph Barkley.
I regret bringing him up.
We talked about video games, so you would leave.
So you're strangling the mic.
You
put the
jerk of swords, because it's his little bald head. I'm choking it out.
Listen to all of our previous podcasts to see why Justin's angry.
No, I'm angry because he's a jerk. That's what you should find out.
Okay.
I'm having my good friend Kevin Miller. This is Justin Warsham for Mia saying, okay, bye.